If you're a visitor, following the crowd's not something we often encourage here. But this morning, it's okay in this context. I'm not going to tell you that I have this whole idea of creation and wisdom figured out. I just want to kind of give a disclaimer before I get into this. Wisdom seems like such a giant topic to try to tackle, and obviously 20 minutes is going to do little justice to such an immense, immense subject. Second, I do not claim to be some paragon of wisdom. I do not live on a high mountain and have a crazy hat on with people knocking at my door waiting to just for me to endow them with all the wisdom that I have. And so I feel ill-prepared to even discuss such a thing as wisdom. But yet, in talking about creation, and we cannot talk about creation without talking about wisdom. But I want to begin by asking, when you look around you day to day in the world that we live in, when you turn on the news, when you get on your browser and the news stories pops up, when you look around at the happenings day in and day out, do you look at that and say, there is immense wisdom in that? I don't think so. When I look around, I see how divided our world is. I see the systemic injustices. I see the deep wounds that we carry as a society. You know, our social reality is a construction of people, right? I mean, we have constructed, and maybe not us, we've inherited some of this, and we're in the middle of it. But we live in a world that we construct, at least societally, culturally. And I have to look and say the trend over the past decades has not tended towards a social construction that I would say is wise. There's very little wisdom in this. And so why am I talking about wisdom when we're talking about creation? Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to diverge a bit from Genesis 1 for just a moment. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 19. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. Isn't that interesting? I just want to let you in on these musings for just a minute that I've had this week of here we look and we talk about creation. And oftentimes when we talk about creation, creation falls under this social reality we've built of being divided. And so when we talk about creation, we often talk about, well, is it evolution or creationism or intelligent design? When we talk about creation, is it 6 or 7 literal days, or each of these days comprise an age, is this just a metaphor, or is the earth literally 6,000 years old? I mean, these are the conversations when we talk about creation that we generally get into. It's like, as soon as you bring up creation, you're thrust into the middle of an argument. And when I look at this here in Proverbs 3, I say the Lord fashioned it by wisdom. That when we talk about creation and when we think about creation, there should be a wisdom to it all. There should be something deeply profound, more than just what camp we find ourselves in and what battles we're waging, but that there's something deeply moving about the idea that God framed everything. But let's look again at another place in Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 8. And this is the one we've been reading through this morning in our worship. What's really fascinating, and there's nothing like it in all the Bible, is that here wisdom is not only described, but wisdom is personified. Wisdom is viewed as a woman. And not only that, but this woman has very, very important attributes. That's where we get the name Sophia from. Right? That's what the Greek term for wisdom is, Sophia. Wisdom by nature, by the very term of the word, is a feminine term. It's fascinating. So here in verse 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work. the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. There's this real subtle image here that really can be seen through the Hebrew, but it's like God had wisdom before foundation and nursed wisdom to become an adult, like a child, right? Like wisdom was a child of God that God nurtured. And when the child became full grown, it danced with joy. And it took delight in the rest of his created works, namely people. Namely people. The ancients used to see the study of wisdom as the play that wisdom took delight in. So like wisdom grew up and played in front of God and was delightful to him because that was his child. And when people study wisdom, when people seek wisdom, we are engaging in this play together. It's really fascinating. So here, what do we get from this? Well, there's a biblical scholar, he kind of put it like this. He said that wisdom is the divine principle bestowed upon the world at creation. It's the thread that runs through everything that happens. So if wisdom is inherent in the very created order itself, and if you notice, this word order keeps coming up. The first week we talked about that God was ordering sacred space, a space that he could create and work in. That last week we talked about that order, the order of the universe displays God's beauty. And this week it's the very order of creation that displays his wisdom. And so, you know, I think about this, and I think about whenever I was a student at Tennessee Tech. A couple of you are Tennessee Tech grads. And I was studying wildlife and fisheries. Wes and I were good buds in that way. And I remember sitting in a lab for like 10 hours one day, and I was looking through these scopes at these... The fancy word was benthic macroinvertebrates, but that's just a fancy thing for those little critters that live under rocks at the bottom of a stream, right? So I'm looking at these things, and I took a class on algae, and it's like, how can a class on algae be exciting, right? I mean, it's just green pond scum. It's just there, right? And yet when you look at that through a microscope, you look at some of these microscopic organisms, you see such intricate design. Such beautiful order, such as the flagellum, the tail on some of these creatures, they're twisted. And we know that they're twisted because it provides strength. When you leave today, look at the power lines. What do? They twist them because it provides strength. There's just these fascinating things that when we look in the order of God's creation, we can see something profoundly wise there. Which makes me wonder, and these are, again, I'm just letting you in on my musings this week. If we're losing creation at a rapid rate, are we also losing something of the wisdom of God that we can discern? If we're losing beings that God put here, is there something about that being that we can learn of God's handiwork? Are we missing something of God's wisdom in our disconnected world? I mean, we're very disconnected from creation now, aren't we? My hands are freezing. We control our environment, right? The air conditioner is like, I don't know what y'all got it set on, but it's like really cold in here this morning. But, you know, we control our environment. We pave over stuff, right? Many people in the world are more used to seeing the shadows of scrapers than they are the shadows of an oak tree. You know, we live in a world in where we're very disconnected from creation. And I have to wonder, in our social construct, in this world that we live in, because we're so disconnected from the created order of God, is this part of the madness that we're living in? We've lost something of the wisdom of God in our day-to-day life. And we're just continually moving away from that. It's just something I'm thinking of. And so getting back to that idea of science, though, I mean, we might say, okay, well, wisdom is what we obtain when we observe the created order. Well, isn't that what science does? I mean, science observes the created order. Well, yes and no. There's some distinctions that need to be made. Science is about observing and systematizing, trying to figure out how to develop things. Wisdom observes the universe and says, how can we find life? Right? Science looks at the universe and tries to understand its innermost workings, the mechanisms by which each thing happens. Wisdom looks at the universe and says, how can the mechanisms of how life happens teach us how I can live more fully today? You know, so we have some examples of this. Let's look at a couple places in the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30 is one of the places. And what's really fascinating about Proverbs 30 is that this was actually written by someone who's not an Israelite, not a Hebrew. Which sort of lends the idea that what Paul said in Romans 1, that even the divine and invisible attributes of God can be perceived through the things that have been created. He says in Romans 1. So I'm just going to read through a couple of these. I'm not going to give a lot of description, but verse 18 of Proverbs 30. Three things are too wonderful for me. Four, I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky. The way of a serpent on a rock. The way of a ship on the high seas. And the way of a man with a virgin. Down in verse 21. Under three things the earth trembles. Under four it cannot bear up. A slave when he becomes king. And a fool when he is filled with food. An unloved woman when she gets a husband. And a maidservant when she displaces her mistress. Four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. The locusts have no king, yet all of them march in rank. The lizard you can take in your hands, yet is in the king's palaces. How dare you guys kill ants in your house? You can ask Lindsay. I'm like the worst about that. Like, I'm like, just let them chill. They're good. You know, we could coexist. And it doesn't work like that all the time. But you know, when we look at these things, there's something of the wisdom of God in every single being. There's something of the wisdom of God in every single tree and every flower and in the created order. Because each of those things, as we've talked about, point and say it's not about us. It's about someone higher. You know, fire is not, God is not like fire. Fire shows us something of what God is like. You know, all of these things in creation teach us something. And the interesting thing about wisdom is most of the things that we construct in our world are consumed, right? When you make them, you use them, they wear out. Or you give it to someone and then you have no more of it, right? Wisdom and knowledge is not that way. If I give you the knowledge and wisdom that I have, I don't have any less of it, but yet it grows. Isn't that interesting? When you give me your knowledge, you still have that same knowledge, but now I have it too. So unlike most of the things that we construct in our world. So how do we live wisely in this world that we are in? First is to realize that wisdom is the thread which wove the universe. Second is, as we discover this thread, as we go out and we play and we live, because see, creation isn't just about beginnings. That's another thing we kind of think about, is creation's about how many days, or it's about a beginning. It's also about the realm in which we live. So when we go out, are we seeking God and what wisdom He has infused in this world in our day-to-day life? Are we trying to discover this thread? Because when we discover the thread of wisdom that runs through everything, we can begin to use it to weave our own lives. It doesn't mean we live lives that aren't filled with this conflict in this world, but we can go through it, and we can go through it wisely. We can go through it in a way to which we are above reproach. We can go through it in a way that we can live in tune with the way God created everything to work. You know, when we break God's order, that's when chaos enters in, right? When we break the way God intended things to be, that's when problems occur. But when we discern wisdom, then we can live in tune with the way God designed us to be. This morning, if you have not came into this life that God invites us into, to hear the deep and profound wisdoms of Christ, who is wisdom became flesh, then Christ calls you into this relationship with Him to live out the wisdom, to live above this, the brokenness of this world, but to be a restored new person. You're immersed into Him, and you find that faith in Him. And if you are, and you just say, look, you know, I feel like my life has been just sort of out of this whole order that God designed us to live in, and I need some insight, I need some companionship, I need strength to endure these things that my life is being attacked by. And Christ calls you as we stand and as we sing.